Jesus came back today, he'd be considered a radical and he'd be part of Occupy Wall Street. That's how that's how far the right-wing Bible thumpers are from their precious Bible.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday night, where else would you be but with me, Josh Hadley, as well as Ms. Vivacious, the cat.
Look, I don't care if you call me Miss Vivacious. I'm just not Mrs. Vivacious.
This was a fight we had before I started recording. Charlie will not be joining us this week because, you know what, Kat, he is such a prick. He lets his real life get in the way of recording this show he does not get paid for. What a fucking arrogant prick, huh?
What a tool.
God, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he had to work all late and shit. Fucking priorities. But before we get into Dumbest Thing, what you guys need to do is get your priorities straight. Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code WHAT, and you will get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. You'll get 6 free DVDs. You'll get a free mystery gift. You'll get a gift for him. You'll get a gift for her. And you'll get free U.S. shipping. All for using the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. You can't go wrong unless an emergency room visit results, but then I'm not held liable for that. So let's get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Since we just did the Adam and Eve promo, how about we talk about one of the stupidestly unique ways to try and kill a man. Kat, I'm sure you've seen lots of women that want to kill their husbands, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Did you ever see one that put poison in her own vagina and then asked her husband to go down on her so the oral sex would then transfer the poison to him? But what she didn't realize was that vaginas are very porous and they're absorbent, so the poison started working into her vaginally. And then the man she was trying to kill drove her to the hospital and saved her life?
Yeah, I see that all the time.
It's just old hat, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you've seen one poisoned vagina, you've seen 100.
Do you give any points for out-of-the-box thinking? No pun intended?
No, not at all.
I wonder if the guy would have been charged with murder if he did not take her to the hospital, even though she did it. In our fucked up country, I know this is in Brazil, but in our fucked up country, if this had happened in America, some fucking prosecutor would try to come after him, wouldn't they?
Dude, I don't know. This is a little beyond my area of expertise of Brazilian law. I'm sure this has happened a Brazilian times there.
God, that's a pun worthy of Charles McMullen.
I'm so sorry, he's not here. Somebody has to compensate.
Then let's move from that to, remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about former Creed frontman Scott Stapp and how he's left our plane of reality?
Oh, yeah. That guy is nuts.
Well, he's more nuts now. Now he has...
Oh, good. I didn't know he could get more nuts.
Yeah.
You know.
He broke out of the mental hospital that he'd been committed to. He now claims, and he's claimed this to the FBI, because they're looking for him. He is on the run. He claims he is actually part of the CIA and has always been such. It's always been his mission to assassinate Obama. Let's just say there are a lot of people looking to find Scott Stapp and put him away permanently. I would think threatening the president like that, there's a lot of people interested in Scott Stapp now. How do you go from being the front man to one of the most insidiously terrible 90s bands to being a CIA agent who's always been there and whose mission it is to assassinate President Obama, who wasn't even the president when you were in the band?
Well, you know, drugs.
That's it? Just drugs?
Well, I mean, there could be more to it, but my assumption is that's how he got there. I don't want to make a medical diagnosis about some sort of paranoid schizophrenia or anything like that. I'll leave that in the hands of experts, but may have started with drugs. I mean, that's your assumption when a celebrity kind of person goes nuts, that it's the drugs.
Can you come back from this? Is Scott Stapp gone? I mean,
no.
Even if they find him, can you come back to reality after you're a CIA agent trying to kill the president?
Well, I think that depends entirely on the drugs. If he gets some sort of medication that he very clearly needs, he might come back from that. It's not like he's going to have a career after that, because nobody's going to want to touch that piece of fucking nuclear radiation. He might come back to reality.
I don't think so. I think when you're that far gone, that's where you live.
You've made that your home now.
Let me ask you a question. If you don't want to answer this, it's fine. How often do you cook bacon in the nude, Kat?
I don't cook bacon in the nude because I have, like, at least 5 brain cells.
Well, apparently there's a big trend of cooking bacon in the nude.
Is that some sort of masochistic thing? Is anybody like, I want to feel burning on my dick, but I don't want to take the time to get an STD?
I don't know, but apparently this is such a trend that there is a product now made by Esh Products that is, describe this.
It's a codpiece, essentially. It's almost like a sporting cup, but it's like a shield, basically. Like a shield to protect your nether regions from hot oil when you cook bacon.
But then let me ask you this. If you are wearing said codpiece, which you can get for only $14.99, too. If you are wearing said codpiece, you're not actually then cooking bacon nude, are you?
Well, I don't think it qualifies as an article of clothing, so...
It's a cover?
It's a cover. It's a cover-up. It's more like an accessory than an article of clothing. Although, I do think it means that you're not cooking in the nude. Because you do have some sort of protection there. Takes all of the mystery and danger out of the experience.
Dave Lefkow, the president of Esh, or co-founder of Esh, has a great press release. Quoting, cooking and eating bacon naked has been said to be the equivalent of winning the lottery, scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and neck-punching Justin Bieber all at once. It's not an experience you'll ever forget, unquote. I don't know how to follow that.
I mean, this guy is clearly a very clever, clever, wonderful writer who knows how to sell a
cod piece. And it's actually called, the actual name of this cod piece is J&D's Naked Bacon Cooking Armor.
It's armor for your places.
There are lots of things, Kat, where I look at a product and go, was that really necessary? This is, I think, my new go-to with, was that really necessary to have made? Was there such a demand that a $15 plastic codpiece for cooking bacon, technically nude? Do we need this in America, Kat?
Don't we, though? Don't we? I don't know, because I'm not a dude who wants to cook thing like cook bacon naked. If it's really such an experience, then evidently, yes, we do need it. I'd rather people have ridiculous-looking codpiece than, you know, like, take that sort of risk. Of course, I don't know why you would cook bacon naked to begin with, but, you know, I don't get to judge you for your weird fucking hobbies.
But isn't this also sexist? It's a codpiece. It's only men that get protection. Wouldn't there be like a little bra and like a little panty thing? Shouldn't they make these for both genders? I'm sure women cook bacon naked too, right?
No, we're not that dumb.
Fair enough. That's I mean, a fair enough answer.
Maybe there are some, but I have never met a woman who was like, you know what sounds like a great idea? Hot oil splashing all up in my everywhere.
Yeah, usually you have to pay extra for that.
You know, most women are not that dumb. Boys are dumb. It's such a guy thing to wanna, like, take that sort of risk. Like, taking dumb risks is such a guy thing.
I wish I could argue with you, but I can't. You're not wrong. All right, well, let's move on to the last relatively funny positive story we have tonight. How about the Toys R Us in Bellingham, Massachusetts, where somebody, some quote layaway angel, went and used $20,000 of their own money and paid off every single layaway account at that Toys R Us without telling the people whose accounts they were paying off. These people just walked in to make a payment on their Christmas layaways for the kids and found out it's already been paid for. It's been taken care of. You can take your products. That is an awesome person. I don't know what their motivation would be other than that whole pay it forward thing. I got no jokes about this.
We hear these kinds of stories pretty much every year. Every year there's some kind of layaway angel who pays off a bunch of layaway for people. And I think it's great. I wish more people who could afford it did that sort of thing.
Because it just is a lot.
Yeah, so it's obviously it's got to be somebody with that kind of money to spend, because that's no soccer mom paying it forward. That's a rich person paying it forward. And I think it's really good that they're doing it, and they're doing it kind of anonymously, so they're not in it for the tax write off
or, you know, like looking good in the papers or anything. They did it because it's a good thing to do.
The local news, the Milford Daily News reported that when many of the customers found out that the layaways had been taken care of, they literally started crying. Now, that's the best way to make somebody cry, I think.
Yeah, because I'm like tearing up just thinking about this, because it's such a sweet thing to do. And it's nice to hear this kind of news once in a while, especially on our show. It's just such a fantastic, truly generous thing to do.
If you have the ability to pay it forward, I think you owe it to yourself to do so.
That's one less ivory back scratcher. I just think there are not enough of these people, because you've and I'm not just talking about making, you know, they made some kids' Christmas a little bit better. That's good. The way our country is going, it seems like everybody, or let me rephrase that. It seems like so many people are all in it for me. It is very nice to see somebody that just says, you know what, I've got an extra $20,000. Maybe I don't need my Christmas bonus, and there are actual people out there that do. I think this is so rare, it does need to be pointed out.
Yeah, especially because if you think about the people who are putting stuff on layaway are the people who need to put it on layaway, who don't have all of the money right away. They probably can't afford the presents that they're buying. I'm not saying that's everybody, but it could be a lot of people. And to have all of that just magically paid off for them, that's a Christmas miracle.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say it's...
What, are you kidding? An American, assumingly an American, like just paying off somebody else's bill for them? That's a fucking miracle.
Okay, your logic is sound, and I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter. All right, that's all the fun stories.
With a battle cry go forth, which is give the people what they want. And what the people want could only be the senseless slaughter of the gutter slime that litters this nation for cash and prizes. Yes, this is the show where people bet their lives to win something big. Cause when your life is shit, then you haven't got much to lose on Slotterama. How do you hide money from a hippie? Put it under the soap! I'm sorry, but that answer wasn't in time. You're gonna have to put your mouth on this. Oh, I blew your head clean off! Good thing I was such an expert shot with the National Guard back at Kent State. I begged for that day. There's nothing like hippie, honey. My dad always used to get me along with Lee Harvey Oswald. Whatever happened to Eddie Munster? I'm looking at him! Oh, odorous! Help the boy with his hairdo there! Ooh, it's getting ripped off!
Oh no! Oh,
you know that gotta hurt! Hey, what's odorous trying to do with his face? Is that a facelift? Whoa, he's pulling that face clean off! Oh. Help that son out of here! We'll be right back.
do Nazi skinheads wear red suspenders anyways? He doesn't have to tell you. Time to give this Nazi skinhead one more haircut. Real close to the shoulders, like. Whoa, his head's been decapitated. Look at all that PSI in his aorta artery. Whoa, is he a gusher or what? That's all for this week. We've killed everybody that's worth killing. Hope you do the same. We'll be back next week with another edition of...
Welcome to take two of the heart attack segment of What the Fuck. I am Hart D. Fisher. You guys can reach me on Twitter at Heart Attack Radio. Also, I'm up there as Hart_Fisher. And you can find us on Facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. What an insane week of news. We have these things about what's going on with the interview and Sony pulling the interview from its release on Christmas, but Josh and I are going to talk about that on the full-length Heart Attack, as long as we can, because we're in a rush. It's kind of a mess over here. Some things are happening in my personal life that are occupying me more than normal. It's not my business. There's some crazy shit going down. I haven't been able to talk about it on the air. Josh knows a bit about it. There's so much going on. Good things are happening for American Horrors. If you haven't seen Mission Terror on Thursday nights, definitely check it out. We've gotten the creators were interviewed on bloodydisgusting.com, and the show's pretty good. I'm actually pretty proud of it. I found a paranormal investigation show where they actually get real results. Now, you know, it's funny. We could talk about this huge news in which Obama announced that we are going to renew trade agreements with Cuba, and we are going to establish an embassy in Cuba, which is huge, huge news. It turns back decades of American policy. But something else that came up that popped up on the dailybeast.com, and it's about a victim of a pedophile ring in England claiming that there is a group of members of parliament, people in business, people from the cabinet in England that were all involved in a secret pedophile ring. And, you know, we've covered this kinds of subject matter on Heart Attack before. This was just sent over into me by Luca Fisher. Thanks, Luca. Appreciate it very much. And this guy has come out, and he's anonymous right now, and he's alleging that he was part of a group of children that had been victimized by people in high corridors of power. And the police in England are taking this very, very seriously. Quote, he has outlined how organized the abuse was, how a car would be sent to collect him and he would be taken somewhere. The abuse he was subjected to was carried out by a man acting alone or a group of men or even what can only be described as parties. And at these parties, they have said that he saw children strangled, he saw boys beaten to death, and he saw boys, you know, forced to do sexual things. And some of these investigations have been covered up and halted, which is why his charges are getting credence. And I know I just sent this over to you, Josh. You just saw this. This is pretty crazy, isn't it?
I would say like 5 years ago, I would have said yes. But after everything I've read and seen, you know, after all the people I've talked to, while I don't know whether this case is factually accurate or not, this seems to be something that's popping up again and again and again that history has tried to suppress. This is a regular thing, you know?
Yeah, according to this article, in 1981, Sir Peter Heyman, a former diplomat and intelligence operative, was outed by Conservative MP Geoffrey Dickens, who used his parliamentary privilege to name this man as a pedophile in the House of Commons. And Dickens continued to investigate the pedophile ring, which he claimed included quote, big, big names, and he passed a 40-page dossier of evidence to the Home Secretary in England in 1983. And then he claims his name was put on a hit list. His house was broken into by burglars who ransacked his office but never stole anything. And, gee, this dossier has mysteriously disappeared.
As things want to do when they do this kind of thing. We talked about before on the full hour-long Heart Attack quite a while ago, that Conspiracy of Silence documentary that the Discovery mm-hmm. Channel completely nixed and actually burned the master of. And the only reason, outside of some ads that they took, the only reason anyone's ever seen the work print is the editor took it home.
There was a current Labour MP, John Mann, who has suffered no personal threats but says his investigation into allegations of a VIP pedophile network were also shut down by authorities. That means people above him. A local politician in South London, he became aware of the allegations that young boys in care homes, which I understand are group homes or foster homes, were being recruited as rent boys, which is boys that are being used for prostitution, and they were taken to Dolphin Square, where they were used in sex parties. And they claimed that Tory MPs were involved in this. And when he passed the information to the police, they came back to him 3 months later to say, hey, they had been instructed by people above them to stop looking into, quote, abuse parties. They were forced to drop it.
Honestly, that's the outcome that we normally get. Someone high up says, drop this, leave it alone. If you continue on this path, your career is over.
Yeah, and a senior detective at the Metropolitan Police, Clive Driscoll, said earlier in the year that he had been removed hastily from an investigation that he had begun in Lambeth and child abuse when his superiors saw his suspects, which included several highly placed MPs that he wanted to investigate. He was pulled off the case because the investigation was, I quote, too uncomfortable. Well, folks, what about the discomfort of those children who were molested, of those children who were beaten, those children who were abused? This investigation,
having a dick shoved
up
your ass when you're 13 is discomforting.
Yeah, so they have 18 strands of inquiry involved in this as part of Operation Fairbank, which was first set up in 2012 to investigate allegations of a VIP pedophile ring. But the investigation apparently has come nowhere. 20 men have come forward to claim they were abused as boys by this Cyril Smith, a Liberal MP who died in 2010. He was part of they claim part of this Dolphin Square group. These people in power that are pedophiles. And so it seems that if you're a pedophile with no money, boy, you're going into the prison. But if you're a kid who doesn't have a lot of money and was molested by somebody with money, oh, gee, too bad for you, kid. Walk it off. Walk it off.
We're going down to the chicken farm.
Kat, you live in St. Louis.
I sure do.
Did you see the St. Louis man, Joseph A. Hayes, who has just been convicted, and by convicted I mean given probation, for his 10th DWI? And prior to this, he also had 9 driving without a licenses and 1 driving on a suspended license. So this is his 20th driving offense, 10 of which are driving while intoxicated. He still gets probation every single time. The last 4 of these, by the way, he committed while on probation for the previous ones. At what fucking point does a judge go, this whole probation thingy we're doing for you, not fucking working?
What the fuck? Because, okay, so no joke, I sat in on a court one time because I had been subpoenaed for something or another. Watched this judge go up to everybody who had been driving while intoxicated or anything like that and like murder them with her eyes and lay down all of these really super harsh judgments, basically go, look, if you fuck this up one more time, you are going to prison. I don't give a shit about, you know, anything else. I think you are a risk to this country, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, damn, this lady should have her own TV show because she's so harsh. And to go from having that experience to hearing about somebody who's on this 10th DWI is absolutely mind-blowing. How do people keep... How? I don't understand.
This was... I'm sad to say this. This is the way drunk driving was treated in the 1980s. Remember the early 80s, late 70s? I mean, you probably don't remember because you didn't exist yet, but you know what I mean. Drunk driving was just seen as one of those things that, you know, happens, and then they started to crack down and they made all these drunk driving laws. How in the fuck does Hayes keep getting probation? Does he have pictures of the prosecutor filleting a goat? Does he know the judge? How in the fuck do you get convicted 10 times and every time, well, you probably didn't mean it, I'm gonna give you another chance?
Really blows my mind. It really doesn't make sense to me at all. I wish I could explain this away as like some sort of like a race issue, because we're so fond of those here now. He's white, but like there's no indication that race has anything to do with it. Like, Because we don't know anything about the judges or anything like that. He's a white dude, but...
Okay, so like I said, I've been in St. Louis courthouse before and saw a white woman hand down a bunch of white people a bunch of really, really harsh terms. So I really don't know what the hell is going on.
MAD local executive director Megan Carter has said this, quote, "At what point are we going to take this crime seriously with him, you know? The next time he does it, what if he injures or kills himself? Or God forbid, injures or kills somebody innocent on the highways? Is that when we're going to take this serious?" Unquote. I can't disagree with her. This guy has proven himself that, okay, these 10 DWIs, they have been over the last 8 years. So that means this guy does not get it through his fucking head. You don't drink and get behind a wheel. And the system is reinforcing this. If you do it, we're going to go, that's it, little wrist slap, that's all you get, nothing serious happens. He's going to kill someone sooner or fucking later.
Yeah, that's why I can't understand this. It's like, how do you as a judge sit there with this obviously incapable individual and decide that this is somebody who you would want on the same streets that you drive, that your family drives on, that your children drive on? How do you decide that that is someone you are willing to put back on the street? It doesn't make sense. He's clearly somebody who can't obey the law, who can't control his own actions, I guess. Somebody who is not in any way in control of his life, and that's okay. Because you're just going to put some sort of restriction that you know he's not going to follow. Like, it's just so illogical.
And isn't the whole point of probation that we're giving you one more chance? And if you fuck up while you're in this time period, you get hit with everything. Yet he keeps fucking up while on probation and they go, you know what he needs? More probation.
Yeah, he's got to have some in or something.
That's why I said, I'm sure there's a picture of the, you know, he's got a picture of the prosecutor or the judge in a compromising situation or something. Because the only way this happens is if they're afraid of putting him in jail.
Yeah, like maybe he knows somebody or something, because this is just messed up.
I'm not even comfortable driving on my own streets with this person around.
Well, you should be happy to find out he's on probation right now. So that means, Kat, he won't do it.
Yeah, he's definitely not driving out there right now. At the exact moment that we're recording, he's definitely not drunk right now.
Well, let's talk about the Walgreens in Northridge, California. Oh, I'm sure you've seen the swastika wrapping paper, right?
Swastika paper, yeah.
All right, what it is, since you guys need to get a description in your head, it looks like a maze, and it's just a whole bunch of blue lines on silver paper. A couple of the intersections happen to form, if you are looking for it, a vague swastika shape. By the way, it doesn't just like, it's not a swastika in the middle of this. It's the lines are going way out. It's like the Tron light cycle lines. They don't stop at any point. I did not see a swastika until this article pointed out where the swastika was. I couldn't find it. Apparently, Cheryl Shapiro was shopping at a Walgreens, saw this, and quote, "It blew me away. What the hell was that doing here? I want it out of the store. I want it out of the stores nationally." Kat, did you even see a swastika until they pointed it out?
No, and I wouldn't have either because I actually really like the pattern.
I wouldn't have noticed a swastika. It just looks like a very beautiful maze-like pattern.
Yeah, I didn't see... This to me sounds like a woman that was looking for something to be offended by. And then the fact that she, "I want this to go national. I want this removed nationally," tells me this was a woman looking for a crusade. I don't see swastika paper here, and I don't think this needs to be pulled out of stores. If you're sensitive about that, fine. You know what?
Don't buy it. Yeah. Don't buy it. If it bothers you, don't buy it.
And I highly doubt that the company that made this wrapping paper was intentionally trying to hide a swastika there. I really don't think so. This is ridiculous.
That's conspiracy level shit right there. Hidden swastikas, hidden the eyes and shit like that. Like, stop. Just full stop.
I'll talk about full stop or not knowing when to stop. How about author Susan Patton, who was on CNN this week, telling women that getting raped while drunk in college is a learning experience. Quoting, What makes this so particularly prickly is the definition of rape. It no longer is when a woman is violated at the point of a gun or a knife. We're now talking about or identifying as rape what really is clumsy hookup melodrama or a fumbled attempt at a kiss or caress. This is with a friend. This is in your own home. It makes me wonder, why didn't you just get up and leave? Or why do you not, as a woman, tell a man who's making advances that, you know, stop that and leave? There's rape, and then there's, and she put it in quotes, rape. I believe that she experienced something that she regretted. I believe she got very drunk and had sex with a man that she regretted the next morning. To me, that's not a crime. That's not rape. That's a learning experience. Unquote.
This is, how do people like this still exist? Generally curious about how people like this are still allowed to step in front of a fucking microphone with this level of ignorant shit spewing out of their fucking mouth. This is victim blaming. And I know in
Except
the interview
she points
she kept
out
saying,
she's not yeah. blaming the victims.
No, she just doesn't want people to think she is, but by repeatedly drawing attention to it, yeah, she's totally victim blaming. She doesn't think that you have to be held at, you know, with your life on the line in order for it to be considered rape.
But
like,
Kat,
somebody has to be threatening to kill you before it's rape. That's fucking ridiculous.
But, Kat, it's a learning experience. College dorm room rape is something all women should experience as part of being a woman, right?
Yeah, let's not. People like this should not be allowed to speak, like, ever. I don't care if we have freedom of speech in this country. Why would you give this person a microphone?
The whole fact that we're now defining rape as, quote, rape. If a woman is so drunk that she cannot consent, that is rape. She did not consent to have sex with you. And it's not a clumsy hookup melodrama or a fumbled attempt at a kiss or caress. Rape is when the woman cannot consent.
Or anyone. It's not just women.
That's true, but in this case, we're talking about women because she was talking about how women can have a learning experience at college with this. I've never in my head, Kat, equated rape with a learning experience. Maybe I'm the weird one.
I can't say that I've ever thought of rape as a learning experience either. No, but that would involve considering the things that she's talking about being rape, and obviously she doesn't consider those things rape. She just thinks of them as, oops, I'm a dumb hoe and I shouldn't hook up with dudes. Whatever.
Oops. Well, I guess I learned my lesson. Now let's go to the free clinic. Well, let's move from that to gay hate. Seems like we can't go a week without talking about gays and religion. Well, Michigan just made it okay for EMTs and in emergency room technicians, so doctors, to refuse service to gay people if homosexuality violates their religious beliefs. So EMT is called, maybe say some neo-Nazis beat up a gay dude on his own lawn. EMTs are called. They see a rainbow flag in the window. Well, I'm a hardcore Christian. I don't believe in homosexuality. You can bleed out, fag.
Yeah, I mean, Isn't there supposed to be some sort of, like, doctor's code of law where you help every person no matter what?
The hippopotamus oath, right?
Is that what that's called? Please tell me that's not what that's really called.
It's called the Hippocratic Oath.
I couldn't remember what it was called.
Hippocratic.
Sure, yeah, we'll go with that. I think if you were a doctor, you would value human life above anything else. That's your entire job, is to make people well. And as long as you consider gays to be other, you know, people, which I guess people don't, then I would think that oath that you took as a physician would be a little more important than some dumb fucking homophobic thing.
This is how they're cloaking it. This is not in a gay hate. This is not a gay hate bill. This is a religious freedom bill.
No.
Michigan Speaker Bulger, who fast-tracked the bill, which passed 59-50, which of course along party lines, quote, "I support individual liberty and I support religious freedom. I have been horrified as some have claimed that a person's faith should only be practiced while hiding in their home or in the church." What they're saying here, Kat, is their religious freedom trumps the freedom to be gay.
No, it's not that it trumps the freedom to be gay. It trumps human fucking life.
Yes, it does. Okay. You do have your right to hate gay people. I will support that because, yes, you have a right to hate gay people. It's stupid. It's tunnel vision, but you have that right. But when you take a job that is about saving lives, your religious rights are superseded by your goddamn Hippocratic Oath. I don't know if we'd be having the same conversation if they passed a law that said you can discriminate against gay people based on religious freedom over whether to serve them in a restaurant. We've had that debate before, and that's still different. That's different than a Hippocratic Oath. When you take a job to save lives, that should supersede all. Or am I the weird one?
No, if you are not willing to save the life of any person, no matter what, then you need to find a different fucking job. Because obviously you are not a good enough person capable of completing that simple task.
Let's think about it like this. Now, the way this bill is worded, it's not just about EMTs stopping for gay people or whatnot. This is about an EMT or a doctor not having to perform anything or perform an act that violates their religious freedom. What about a Muslim doctor? What if a Christian guy comes in, got into a fight at a redneck bar, and, well, you know what? Christians offend me. I'm not going to help you. Bleed out, fucker. Bleed out, redneck. Bleed out, cracker. What about other religions? Like we've talked about, I don't know how many times, they only think of Christianity. They don't think of what's going to happen if a Jewish doctor or a Muslim doctor or an atheist doctor.
Dear God.
What if one of those says my religious freedom says that I think women are promiscuous sluts, so I'm not going to perform that emergency C-section that'll save her life because slut. Because, you know, she had that learning experience at college.
Right, right. And now she's paying for that learning experience. She's paying for that college tuition.
Well, let's move from Michigan then to Kansas, where for a second here, we're going to be talking about religion on a good level. Kansas minister Jackie Carter of the First Metropolitan Community Church in Wichita has decided that since same-sex marriage is legal, she's going to perform gay weddings because, you know, she's actually being a Christian. She's getting death threats over this. They have threatened to burn her church down over this. People have stopped coming to her services on Sundays because she performs gay marriages as well. So we finally get a religious person, a reverend no less, that is actually acting like what the Bible, how the Bible says a religious person should act, and they're being punished for it. Of course that's how it happened, huh?
Naturally. I expect nothing less out of religion, honestly.
It's so sad because this is a person who's living up to the ideals of their religion being threatened with death by people who claim to have that same faith. Like, if you actually listened to your fucking selves and the shit you preach all the time, you wouldn't behave like that. If you actually cared about your religion and not this crazy, fucked up, homophobic, hate-filled idea of what you think your religion is, you would just hate yourself so much for your behavior, but such a fucked up thing.
You want to know how bad it's gotten? She's had to hire personal security for church members, for certain church members and her staff and herself that has to escort them in and out of the building because of the people that may want to hurt them.
Guess what? One person gets to go home with a clean conscience. No matter what happens, this person knows that this reverend knows that she's doing the right thing.
And she's going to continue doing the right thing. I'm going to read a great quote from her. I'm not going to change my message of inclusion. I'm not going to change my message of love, and I'm not going to stop marrying people. I'm going to keep it up. This is ridiculous hatred that has no place in this city or state or in this country. Unquote. Fight the good fight. I think, for once, I'm on the side of the reverend. I know this sounds weird, but I'm on the side of the reverend.
It's weird for a pack of us like this to say, but yeah, like, you go.
You go and you keep doing your religious thing because you're doing it right. And if more people were like that, then Christianity would have some shreds of dignity left.
Oh, but it doesn't. How about this? How about that there are 7 states in America where it is illegal to hold any public office if you are not religious in some way. Arkansas, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas all have bans on non-believers. Now, you can hold a public office if you're Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, even satanic, but you have to hold some higher religion, some higher belief, or you cannot hold office in these seven states.
How do they even validate that?
I don't know. If you have to believe in some kind of a god, why do you have to do that to hold public office? An atheist can, I don't know. Just, I don't know. You talk. My brain just shut down.
If I recall correctly, these are very, like, outdated laws that have been around for a long time.
But they're still technically on the books.
Right. That it seems like some states, some more conservative states, are having a hard time getting rid of. I guess the silver lining is that it's not that many states.
It's only 7 out of 50, so...
Yeah, so, like, the ratio is pretty good, and a lot of these states are ones that you'd sort of expect this sort of thing, but it's really kind of fucked up that we have a country whose founding document says that everybody gets to have whatever religion that they want and there will be no imposed religion via the government. But in order to hold a government office, you have to have a religion. That's ridiculous. Freedom of religion also means freedom of not having a religion.
This is also the same country that, if you go back to the court thing, if you go to court and testify, you are asked to swear to God. Doesn't matter whether you believe in God. Some judges won't let you affirm either. You have to take the oath or you're in contempt. Our courthouses still say, in God we trust. Our money still says, in God we trust. Kat, in our lifetime, Kat, I don't think we are ever going to see an atheist elected to a high public office like Speaker of the House or even Vice President, let alone President. We're never going to see a non-religious high office in our lifetime, I don't think. Or do you think I'm doomsaying there?
I think it's very likely that maybe we already have and we just don't know it. Because obviously...
Mama ain't a Muslim!
I'm not saying a lot of people are faking religion in order to get into public office, but when you have bullshit laws like this, and if you think it'll give you a bump in the polls, I'm absolutely certain that there are elected officials who fake having a religion, because... How do you call them out on it? How do you prove it? How do you prove that somebody is religious or not? Is it that how many times they mentioned God in a speech, or do they have to do an interview at their church? I mean, you can be religious and not attend a service, and that's pretty common nowadays.
I would think it would have to be if you actually hold up the tenets of your religion. People like Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, they are about the exact opposite of what a Christian is, according to the Bible. Yet they are the Bible thumpers that we need to put the Bible back into America.
Well, I mean, I would be for putting the Bible back into America if maybe even 5% of the people who wanted to do that had actually fucking read it. The Bible, while I don't agree with a whole lot of it, has some really good ideas. Good ideas, not good, you know, applications of those ideas. But, like, the basics that the Bible brings up, the sins and everything. Like, hey,
Jesus,
don't kill people. That's not a good thing. Stuff like that. If we did that, if we just did that, the basics, then it would be a much better place. But the people who are the loudest to talk about the Bible are the ones following it the least.
Jesus came back today, he'd be considered a radical, and he'd be part of Occupy Wall Street. That's how far... the right-wing Bible thumpers are from their precious Bible.
Like, these are people who have a very warped, very cherry-picked understanding of their own religion. The fact that a lot of atheists know more about their religion and the teachings of it than they do is pretty fucked up.
I think their religion has been co-opted by them. There is a bias here in these seven states. As one representative put it, if there were laws on the books that said you can't be Muslim and hold a public office, or you can't be Jewish and hold a public office, those would be overturned like that. but for some reason, none of these states are in any hurry to overturn the no atheists in public office rule. It's almost like, well, you're okay to discriminate against because technically you don't believe in anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't believe in anything. You're not a good person. So we're going to treat you the same as we would treat criminals or something like that.
If you do want to see where Kat believes in things, where would people go to confront you or to listen to your very vivacious voice on other programming?
You can check me out on Facebook.com/NerdistKat and Twitter at LabyrinthKat. And then you can actually hear my vivacious and sexy voice on other wonderful podcasting programs such as Thespian Talk over on RT Gomer and on... I couldn't keep doing the voice. It's just getting too funny. And Nerd to the Third Power over on channelawesome.com.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. You can also hear Kat on the 1201 Beyond TV series.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Go to 1201 Beyond, buy a t-shirt, and go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code WHAT and get something to stick in the butt. What in the butt? Come on, for Christmas, people.
For Christmas.
Is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.